Revelation 16, verse number 12. The only place in your Bible that Armageddon is mentioned by name. Isn't that startling? The world's largest destructive battle that's ever been known to man. We talk about the atomic bomb falling on Hiroshima, Nagasaki, in Japan, but there will be potentially enough war material represented at Armageddon to destroy humanity off of the earth. Now, every once in a while, I meet someone that says, Brother Brankle, why will God allow such a slaughter of mankind? I'll tell you why he allows it. It's to save total annihilation of mankind from off of this earth. Jesus told us the little secret, except those days be shortened, no flesh would be saved. If Jesus did not intervene and destroy the plan of the devil and the Antichrist and the false prophet, it would be total annihilation of man on planet earth. And God's going to have a remnant of nations to go into the millennial reign and live and reign with him. So if you wonder why Armageddon, why such a destructive battle and war, it's God intervening. And this thrilled me when I found this out. I was studying this some time ago. God has a controversy with the nations, but it's God's intervention for a remnant of people to go into the kingdom that he has predetermined, which we call the millennial kingdom. Hallelujah. So it's a thriller to me. Now let's go to Revelation chapter 16. This morning's study is an outstanding Bible study. It thrills me. Read verse number 12. And the sixth angel. Now we know from Revelation 21. If you want a little mark in your Bible, that the angel, these are the seven last plagues of God. Revelation 21 let us know that the seven vials are the seven last plagues or judgments upon a Christ-rejecting, sin-loving, pleasure-seeking, God-defying world. Revelation 21 lets us know that the angel that had the seven last vials. If you want to read that, that's 21:9. That'll let you know where to put the vials in the Revelation. For Revelation 21:9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, so we know we're in the closing hours of the last 3.5 years. We're in great tribulation. The tribulation period is divided into two parts. The first part, the man of sin will be a world hero and will practice and will prosper and will be over and have dominion over the old revive or the Roman Empire and its revive and plus additions. But you're looking at a preacher that is a fanatic that the tribulation period will cover worldwide. Your Bible said upon all the world. I know there's some today that limit that to the old Roman Empire. There are Bible teachers that say it's the then known whole world. But now, friends, that's taking the Bible a long ways out of its proper setting to try to prove a point so you can prove something further down the line. Let me give you an illustration. Suppose Jesus said, go into only the then known world and preach the gospel to every creature. Won't fit, will it? I could go on and on. He gave his life a ransom for all. And I want to assure you, if the great tribulation period, its wrath, its judgment, its vials, its trumpets, its seals only fell on the Roman Empire, the whole world would be in chaos. It will affect the entire world. There will be a remnant of people saved out of many, many nations. There's going to be people that'll come out of it. But I want to deal with that in tomorrow's lesson. But if I read my Bible right, follow me now. If I read my Bible right, the only people that will come out of the millennium, or out of the tribulation into the millennium, will be the sheep nations, and I'll be there tomorrow. And that's the people that's turned to God and believe upon him and call upon his name. I don't believe America's a sheep nation. I don't believe Russia's a sheep nation. Well, let me ask you, who do you believe is a sheep nation? Tell me one that you believe is a sheep nation. Have you got one? I get tickled when they divide this up by nations and boundary lines. I don't think America's a sheep nation when in one city we tolerate 300,000 homosexuals. When there's a movement on in the land for women libbers. Say amen. I want to say thanks to Mr. Reagan that wouldn't bow to the ERA yesterday. I thank him for it. I want to challenge you, friends. We're not a sheep nation. I get amazed at Bible teachers that put sheep nations over here. Here's America, a sheep nation. Russia, you're a goat. Cuba, you're a goat. Amen. That's not sheep nations. Sheep nations will be the remnant of people that will turn to my God and will follow him out of the nations, and God Almighty is going to allow them to enter into his visible kingdom, and the sinners will be destroyed out of the land. Read Matthew chapter 25 and see what he did with the goats. He didn't say, I'm going to let you be in the millennium. He said, I'm going to destroy you. We'll talk about it in the morning. Tomorrow morning is the millennial. But I only said that to say this. We're coming to some important material today. Armageddon, what a subject. Read it, Revelation chapter number 16. The only place it's named by name in your Bible. Verse number 12, the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. The waters thereof was dried up, that the ways of the kings of the east might be prepared. That is a valuable statement in interpreting the Holy Scripture. This lets us know that Armageddon will have a conflict with the Eastern world. No doubt China, Japan, and India will play an important part in this last day battle. Notice the battle we talked about the other morning, Ezekiel 38, has no kings of the east in it. That lets us know it's a distinct battle. We're going to discuss that in a moment. Because I did not get those 10 things on the tape. I ran out of time the other morning. So we're going to compare them. But let me read my scripture. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. This seems to be the devil's mimic trinity of God's holy trinity. The beast, the false prophet, and the devil said, we make up the unholy three. Verse number 14, and they are the spirits of devils, the spirits that came out of the mouth of the frogs, working miracles. And I want to say something today. I thank God we serve a miracle worker, but don't be carried away just with miracles. Let's demand some righteousness. Psychics now are having healing testimonies. Father behind, I mean Father divine. That black Negro a few years ago in New York had people stand and testify more fervently than we do, I was healed of incurable diseases by Father Divine. The Moonies today are having phenomenal success and are getting worldwide attention by their miraculous powers to heal. Yoga, which is devil worship and is dangerous, and it's moving into your school and being taught to your kids, is a force of the devil and is also having phenomenal testimony. You see, you cannot follow. Remember when Moses came back with his stick and threw it down, it turned to a serpent. But the boys from Egypt, the magicians that don't even know Jehovah God, they had snakes crawling around too. So don't fall for everything. Look for righteousness and demand righteousness. He that doeth good knoweth God. He that doeth not good knoweth not God. He that sinneth is of the devil if he packs the auditorium and thrills every here or there. So we gotta get down to working miracles, the book says, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. Notice the whole world. That's the reason why every nation, the whole world, will be involved in Armageddon. We'll prove that in a little while. To gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keep his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he shall gather them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. If you want to draw a little line under it, that's the one time it's in your Bible, this great, horrible, tragic, last day battle. That's one time it's mentioned in your Bible, Armageddon. Now, I want to preface my remarks because you're going to need to follow me. We're going to use a lot of scripture. But let me preface my remarks this morning on Armageddon. Armageddon is not the battle of Gog and Magog that's described, that will destroy 1/6 of Russia, Iran, Ethiopia, and Libya, and Gomer, and Turkey's army when they invade Israel. For years I sat in churches and I heard Ezekiel 38 and I believed it. But not long ago I sat down with my Bible. I sat down and I read it over and I searched diligently. And I'm fully convinced, and I'll not reiterate, but Ezekiel 38 and 39 is not Armageddon. There is only one semblance in the whole two chapters to Armageddon. And that one symbol is the vultures and the buzzards will eat their flesh like they do in Armageddon. That's the only one. And because we had an angel calling for buzzards, we thought it had to be Armageddon. But let me give you 10 reasons that I didn't get on the tape. If you bought the tape the first morning, we ran out of time. I'll give you 10 reasons why it's not Armageddon. Number one, the Bible describes the Septuagint. Many translations puts exactly that this is Rosh, the land of Russia. Meshech and Tubal by topologists and ethnologists have been described as cities in Russia. Russian believers believe this. World travelers have discovered it. And we're referring to the sons of Japheth. Genesis chapter 10. Magog, Meshech, and Tubal, and Gomer are grandsons of Noah. And they were the inhabitants of the northern part. The Bible defines it so till it calls it, in many translations, the utmost north. The most northern part. Take your ruler and put it on a straight line in longitude with straight north of Jerusalem and you'll hit Moscow. I'm fully convinced beyond any shadow of a doubt, many translations, Moffat, Rotherham, Septuagint, the New American Standard, the Peschetti, I could go on and on and on, from the original translation puts the word Rosh, Russia. He's referring to the chief land that now has the greatest military power in the world. And even our senators, our congressmen, our secretary of state, our head of armed services says today that Russia has us much outnumbered in military hardware. So the number two, six specific nations are named that will fight in the battle of Ezekiel 38 and 39. And it's not all the nations of the world. So we know by that there are no kings of the east mentioned. There are six specific nations will fight in Ezekiel 38 and 39. That lets me know it's not Armageddon. Number three, Gog the ruler of Magog, Meshach, and Tubal comes against Jerusalem in Ezekiel 38. And in Armageddon, he is already tabernacled or headquartered in Jerusalem. Did you follow me? He sits in the holy temple and declares himself to be God. So Ezekiel 38 and 39 is an invasion from the north. It is not Armageddon. Number five, all nations, the Bible said, Joel chapter number 3, Zechariah again says the same thing, and I just read it in Revelation chapter 16. I could go on and on. God said he would bring all nations to Armageddon, not specific six, so there'll be all nations will be gathered at that time in Armageddon. Number six, the reason why the location of the battle is different. Armageddon will be fought from Mount Megiddo unto where? Petra. From the edge of Petra, the plains of Idumea. I looked it up the other day, and God Almighty said the mountains of Moab in Armageddon will be soaked with blood. If you want to find that reference, it's Isaiah chapter 34. Who is he? Isaiah 63 says, who comes from Bozrah with dyed garments. Again in Isaiah chapter 34, he lets us know he's coming from Selah, Petra. And so from the battle, the bloodshed, and God called for a sword and a bloodbath and a overflowing of blood in Edom. Edom is that part of Jordan today that's under the domain of Jordan. And no doubt God will call specific judgment on the plains of Idumea because they must betray Israel when they flee into Selah, because God Almighty mentioned that there would be the bloodbath. I'll come back and read that, but I wanted to put it in this. The location of the Battle of Armageddon is from Selah clear to Megiddo. Brother, some of you have been over there so many times, and you know that valley of Megiddo that runs down even to the eastern side through Kidron, right down to the edge of Jerusalem, and then back it goes clear down. If you'd follow it, it'll take you nearly to Petra. And it's through that valley that Israel is to escape. But in that valley, the armies of the Antichrist and the world will gather for a battle. And God Almighty said he's coming from Bozrah. So we want to remember that. The location, the battle in Ezekiel 38, 39, will be on the mountains of Israel. If I don't finish today's tape, I'll finish it tomorrow, because I think this is something important and you needed it on tape. You didn't get it, so you can take it home. Number seven, Armageddon will be fought with the kings of the east supplying an army of seemingly 200 million. Do you realize the slaughter of an army of 200 million would be almost like every man, woman, boy, or girl, and child in America to be slain with one stroke? Do you? And also, we must realize, I'll go back and touch on this, but we must realize that in Revelation chapter 6 has already been a war that brought one-fourth of the world's population. Revelation chapter number 9 describes a third of the earth's population. Brother Brankel, why will there be such destruction? How can God do this? He's to save the world from total destruction. It'll be the mercy of God that causes this to happen. And a sinner, my friend, death, no wonder the Bible said, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Destruction from God and death and blood flowing to the horses' bridles is nothing compared to eternal hell, what is going to be. I tell you, folks, there's things worse than death, and that's eternal death. Number 8, I'll give you the next reason why Ezekiel 38, the method of destruction is altogether different. Zechariah chapter 14 tells you the exact method that will be used when God Almighty destroys man. In fact, the book says that he will destroy them at Armageddon with the brightness of his coming. The glory of the Lord will be so great when Jesus comes stepping down through the Milky Way until men will burst like grapes in the press. And God Almighty said their eyes will consume in their head at Armageddon. But that's not the way he takes care of it. Gog and Magog, when Russia and Iran, Ethiopia and Libya, and Gomer comes down, God Almighty said, I'll send overflowing rain. And I'll send confusion and you'll fight each other. And I'll send hailstones and I will be magnified in the eyes of many nations. And Israel shall know that I am the Lord that goeth forth and will defend them. Hallelujah. Say amen. Makes me want to shout. Give you number 9. 9, Armageddon's defeat will bring an end to Gentile rule. Armageddon is the vision that Daniel saw when the 10 nations were ground to powder. There was no more Gentile supremacy. When Armageddon is fought and finished, Jesus Christ is going to put his feet on the Mount of Olives and will establish a kingdom on earth with blood wars, triumphant, redeemed, sanctified, overcoming saints. So you see, Ezekiel 38 and 39, that isn't what he did. He was magnified in the eyes of many nations. He glorified himself in the sight of Israel and protected Israel from destruction by the invasion of Russia, Iran, Ethiopia, and Libya. Number 10, if you want to mark it in your Bible, or mark it with a piece of paper, 10 reasons why Ezekiel 38 and 39 is not Armageddon, the 10th one. It'll take 7 months to bury the dead in Ezekiel 38 and 39. 7 years they'll employ people to pick up bones and to mark them over the land of Israel. But at Armageddon, according to Jeremiah 25, 33, the earth shall no more cover her slain, and the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth to the other. And so it lets us know that it's not Armageddon in Ezekiel 38 and 39. If you need another one, I'll give you number 11. That is my personal opinion. The defeat of Russia and its military power in Europe and the communistic bloc and Iran, Ethiopia, and Libya will create a vacuum in the world that will make way for the man of sin to step into power. For if the man of sin stepped into power today, he would automatically be in conflict with Russia. Russia is not going to let anybody be supreme, not even the Muslim world. I made a statement the other morning, and I made a statement that one of the chief things that Russia wants its hand on Israel is, if it does have control, it would have three continents in its hand. It would have It would own a military base on the Mediterranean. It would be at the mouth of the Suez Canal. But number one, they want their hands on the fertilizer that's in the bottom of the Dead Sea. And the very next morning, after I taught here Monday morning, the very next morning, I was handed a sheet torn out of the recent new U.S. News and World Report or Newsweek magazine, and it said, Russia is out of food, and you have to have a doctor's prescription in many areas even to buy milk. And it showed food lines standing in line to buy food in Russia. Remember, she wants fertilizer. She needs help. Get your shouting clothes on. We're in the final round, and what we're preaching is happening right before our eyes. So, number 11, if you want to make an extra one, which I believe. I gave you the 10 reason, but this is my belief that the fall of Russia, Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, and Gomer, and the communist bloc of Europe will create a vacuum that will be the means whereby one superman can arise out of an old revived Roman Empire. And I'm convinced, according to Daniel 8, the northern part of the Grecian Empire inside of the old Roman Empire, and will become a world figure overnight. Now, let's go to the Battle of Armageddon. Go to Revelation. In the book of Revelation, there are a number of battles that will be fought. We don't want to confuse them too. Jesus said one of the last day signs would be wars and rumors of wars. Have you ever heard as much about peace treaties and wars as you hear right now? There are some battles yet to be fought. The number one battle I just mentioned, I want to mention that are in the book, the Battle of Gog and Magog. I do not know whether this battle happens before the rapture or after. If I was to give you an opinion, I'd tell you after. But the Battle of Gog and Magog is set now for the big bear to come down and put his hand on that little nation Israel. And when the bear touches Israel, he's going to touch the apple of God's eye, and the lion of tribe of Judah is going to rise up and defend them, and the fur is going to fly. Say amen. Makes me want to shout. That's the number one battle that we know is going to happen. Number two, I do not know whether this will be by cold war or by default or by open war, but something will bring about a 10-kingdom confederacy in the old revised Roman Empire. We're a fanatic on this. Whether it be by default of nations, the other day I spoke on this subject, and the next morning picked up the newspaper, and headline says, smaller nations could default through economical inflation and depression. Many of the world's countries today are operating on a shoestring. Spain has changed governments, I've forgotten now how many times. Portugal is in the hands of crumbling government. This morning NBC said Saudi Arabia has a shaky government, and an ambassador from Saudi Arabia was interviewed. Did you see it this morning? This very morning, 7 o'clock on NBC, today they interviewed the shakiness of the Saudis' government. That's Sheba and Dedan. So I've named two wars or something will bring about a revived 10-kingdom confederacy. Number three, we know there will be a trouble over this, for the man of sin, the little horn of Daniel chapter number 7, Daniel chapter number 8, Revelation chapter 13, Revelation chapter 17, the little horn, same thing. He will pluck up, the Bible said, three of the kingdoms by force. He has to overrun three kingdoms in the old ten kingdom in order to have complete rule. Seven will give their power to him. So there will be a conflict on the earth when the man of sin comes into power by three nations that will revolt against him. Number four, Revelation chapter 6 describes a battle that one-fourth of the world's population was slain. Revelation 6, when he opened the seven seals, I opened the first seal, I saw a white horse. A bow and a crown was given unto him. He went forth conquering and to conquer. All Bible scholars that I know that are prominent Bible scholars agree that that is the introduction to the man of sin. Followed him is a red horse. He that sat upon it had a great sword or an implement of destruction. And he had power to kill with a sword and take peace from the earth. Followed him was the black horse rider. The black horse rider had a pair of balances in his hand, and I heard him cry, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley, and see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. The fourth horse was a pale horse. The rider's name was Death, and the Bible said hell followed him. And he had power to kill with a sword and with pestilence and with plagues. Is it right? And with destruction of war. And when he has made his stride, one-fourth of the world's population is slain. Friends, this old world is in for a judgment. Men have thumbed their nose at God, rejected truth and walked in sin, and there's judgment coming. God's book says he has a controversy. The Antichrist will wage war on the saints during the tribulation period, and power was given unto him to kill saints. Now, Brother Brankle, I'm going to have to stop here before I get to Armageddon, and if I don't make it, I will be tomorrow. Brother Brankle, where is the saints in the tribulation? I thought they were in the rapture. There are many teachers today that teach the church goes through the first half of the week. Some got us going through all week long. But if I was going to take a bride unto myself and I could deliver them out, I wouldn't say, now, bride, if you can be killed and tormented and tortured, butchered and slain and bullet and ridden, and I'll marry you after that. I believe he's going to come for a church and keep us from the hour of temptation or tribulation. They'll come upon all the world to try them to dwell on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. So I'm a preacher that believes there's not one hint that the church will go through the great tribulation. Your church may have tribulation, but that's because you made it. Say amen. I know a lot of churches that's been in tribulation for a long time, but that's because of their business meetings. Thank you for those. Amen. You made that. But the great tribulation, he promised us an escape, the rapture. And that word rapture is not in your Bible. You know what it means? Snatched away. Hallelujah. Caught out. Glory. Yanked out of here. We're going up with such force, by the time you bat your eye three times, we'll be on the other side of the Milky Way in robes of white, shouting hallelujah, been redeemed. Say amen. Well, I've got to hurry. I want to preach evangelistic in the middle of this. Makes you want to shout. The Antichrist will wage war on the saints during the tribulation. Where will the saints come from? We'll touch this tomorrow, but I'll give you a little hint right now. When the rapture takes place, and it could take place tonight, wouldn't it be something if it happened while we're at camp meeting in West Florida? I can't even pick a better time. Saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. If I feel like I did in church last night, whoo, it wouldn't take much to get us up there. Say amen. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it happened in a Holy Ghost revival? You see, I wondered why, Lord, you haven't come. Why haven't you already come? Matthew 25 says, while he tarried, the bridegroom slept. I'll tell you, if he'd have come A few years ago, there's people in West Florida that would have been ready to go that are not now. But there's a host of people that have been saved that wouldn't have been ready to go. And so there may be some fall to the wayside, but he's going to have a tested and tried people. But I'm going to tell you, every day he delays his coming, we're giving another altar call and we're getting somebody into the fold. And while we pray, even so come, Lord Jesus, we lift our hearts and still preach and occupy. He said, occupy till I come. Folks, you say, Brother Branko, what should we do if the coming of the Lord is that close at hand? Should we not build churches or buy buses? No. Now's the time to double up. Let's get out there and get the job done. We're in the harvest. But immediately following the rapture, there's going to be a special divine sovereign visitation upon the house of Israel. Revelation chapter 7, and he delayed judgment until he visited them. And I want to shout it, Israel is going to get their eyes open before very long. I believe God is using, why is there so many Pentecostals feel all of a sudden we want to go and tour Israel? And everywhere we go, we have church. We went to the upper room. We got to the upper room and the Holy Ghost fell. And the next group came in on us and we're still getting the Holy Ghost. Those guides stand around with their mouths open because God Almighty is going to use the church to leave a witness for Israel. Get ready. Hallelujah. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I get excited. I get excited every time. You just talk about this and something happens. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I'd be happy if Mr. Sadat and Mr. Begin could stay together. I'd be thrilled. For the Bible lets us know that Egypt will be on the side of Israel in the first war, but will not be in the last war. So things are going to change. But Antichrist is going to turn on the saints, and God's going to make 144,000 at least fanatics that are going to be gospel preachers that are going to preach in the tribulation period and warn the world that Jesus Christ, and tell them of the coming of his glorious Son and King. And God said there's going to be a multitude turned to him. Now I don't think, and I want to stress this, I made it the other morning and we'll say it again, I don't think there's a ghost of a chance for you that have sat around in church and are lukewarm, criticized and found fault and had enough gospel preached to you to save the entire world. I don't believe there's a chance for you to get in. I don't care what it takes. Now, that's a pretty strong doctrine because the will of God is to save. But the Bible said because they did not love the truth, they'll all believe the lie and be damned. Now, friends, there's 2 billion people that have never heard the name of Jesus, and there's millions and millions that have never had an altar call, never been in a camp meeting in West Florida. Whew, I'd like to see God Almighty rescue millions of them with a great altar service and a universal outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And we'll be on this in a few mornings because I'm going to teach on 2 Thessalonians 2. And you say, Brother Branko, well, the Holy Spirit will be gone. Oh, no, he won't be gone. He's got too big a work yet to do. Say amen. We're going to talk about it. Who is he that'll be taken out of the way? Number six, the war that the sixth and a big war that's going to be fought. And the Bible calls this a war. Others are called battle, but this is a war. There's going to be a war in heaven in the middle of the week. Right in the middle of the week, Michael is going to order the devil out of heaven. Amen. And they're going to get in a battle royal. The Bible said a third part of the stars followed the devil. And brother, the heavens is going to be in a stir and there's going to be a wrestling match from heaven to earth. Amen. And about that time, I heard one of the angels say, Michael has prevailed, and the enemy of the accuser of the brethren has been cast out. Hallelujah. Say amen. Makes me want to shout. And God Almighty confines the devil to planet earth. And I heard him cry, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because the accuser of the brethren is cast out. The last battle, and I'm down to my subject now, Armageddon. How's the tape? Good? Very good. Armageddon. If you want to turn in your Bibles, let's spend a little time on the scripture now. Armageddon, we'll run into it in chapter 34 of the book of Isaiah. You may want to follow me. We'll go through it just as quickly as we can. Armageddon will be that last strike of the devil and the man of sin when they even come and declare war on God Almighty and dare God to intervene while they rule the world with a one world system. Isaiah chapter 34, come near ye nations to hear and hearken ye people, let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them, he hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down as a leaf falleth off from the vine, and as the falling fig from the fig. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven, because it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people and of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood, and it is made fat with the fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, and the fat of the kidneys of rams. And the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozra. This lets us know that Armageddon will be a valley full of armies from all nations of the world, from Bozra or from Edom, clear to Megiddo, lying outside of Jerusalem. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood. Do you realize if 200 million army is slain, that is what 400 million gallons of blood will drench the land of Israel? And your Bible said, my sword shall be bathed in blood. For, read it, verse number 8, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. Isaiah chapter 63. Let's turn quickly to it. We'll share it with you. I want to share what this Bible said, not some imagination on Armageddon. Verse 1. Who is he that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozra, that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength? I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Wherefore, I ask, art thou red in thine apparel and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? And here's the answer. I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger, trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all of my garments, for the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. We'll come back to the Old Testament, but turn with me to the Revelation chapter 14, and you'll find exactly some of the same reading and some of the same language used when God describes Armageddon in Ezekiel 14. Revelation 14, beg your pardon. Revelation chapter 14, verse number 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the white cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having in his hand a golden crown, on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, and thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. He that sat upon the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple, which is in heaven, he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire, and crowd cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in thy sharp sickle, gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle in the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great wine press of the wrath of God. And the wine press was trodden without the city. That means the battle will not be fought in Jerusalem, but outside. Without the city, and blood came out of the wine press, even to the horses' bridles. One translation reads, splattered on the horses' bridles. Another said, stained the horses' bridles. No doubt there'll be a lamb that'll be soaked with blood. The book said it'll be soaked with blood. Even under the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. What a battle! God's day of vengeance. Let's go to Joel chapter number 3. I want to get the word of the Lord on it. Not an opinion, and then if we have a little time, we'll discuss it. Joel chapter 3, read it verse number 1. Joel saw Armageddon. For behold, in those days and in that time when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will gather all nations and will bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they've scattered among the nations and parted my land. And they've cast lots for my people and have given a boy for harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have you to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all the coast of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense if you recompense me swiftly and speedily? I will return your recompense upon your head, because you've taken my silver and gold, have carried it into your temples, my goodly pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have you sold unto the Grecians, that you might remove them far from the border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither you have sold them, and will return your recompense on your head. And I'll sell your sons and your daughters into the hands of the children of Judah, and they'll sell them into the Sabaeans and to a people afar off. For the Lord has spoken, proclaim ye among the Gentiles, prepare war, wake up the men of war, the mighty men, let the men of war draw near, let them come up, beat your plowshares into sword, your pruning hooks into spear, let the weak say that I'm strong, assemble yourselves, come all you Gentiles or heathens, and gather yourselves together round about, thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord, let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. There will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Folks, it makes you want to shout when you realize how this is going to turn out. Armageddon, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come get you down to the press is full. The fats overflow, for the wickedness is great. Multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall be withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of the people and the strength of the children of Israel. Say amen. About the time the man of sin thinks, I have removed the remnant seed. He hates Israel because they produced 144,000 preachers he can't handle. Say amen. He hates Israel because it's written in this book and the devil is a fundamentalist. I didn't say fundamentalists are devils, but he believes this. He believes that it's written in this book that Jesus Christ will come back and set up a kingdom in Zion, and he's going to try to stop it. Isn't the devil stupid? Makes me want to shout. Can I hurry? Woo! Is that tape running out? Oh, glory. Give me victory now. I've got to get in high now. Let's go to Zechariah. Let's have a little camp meeting with Brother Zechariah. He is the Armageddon prophet. Glory. Have you read Zechariah 12 lately? It'll cause you to shout all over the place. Because it is exactly what's happening right now before our eyes. Zechariah 12. Read it when you get home. I won't read it. Chapter 14. Let's read chapter 13, verse 8, and we'll go on. 7, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that my fellow saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I'll turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts thereof shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left therein. Brother, Israel has a lot of bloodshed before she recognizes her Messiah. You talk about trouble in Israel, and God has blessed people, but there's going to be a lot of humbling to do before Israel comes down. In fact, Revelation chapter number 11 says, go measure the court and measure the sanctuary and measure the temple. And then he said, don't measure the outside. I've given it unto the Gentiles to trod underfoot 42 months. The last half of the tribulation. Did you hear me? During the great tribulation, Israel will have to flee out of Jerusalem, and it'll be in the hands of the Gentiles again. Amen? The last half. In fact, that is the exact day that Jesus said, when you see the abomination that maketh desolate stand in the holy place, don't come back to get your clothes. Run! Amen. You which are in the mountains, don't come down. You that are on the housetop, don't come down. And woe to them that are with child, and those give suck in those days. Run for your life, because you're those that run, God's going to hide you, and he's going to give you an escape, and he's going to cover you with his wings. Hallelujah. And God Almighty will give you provision and protection. Why is there awakening in Israel, and why are they wanting to read this Bible? Because God Almighty gave this scripture to them, and a remnant will be saved out of it. And 144,000 preachers will take their text on how to run. Amen. Hallelujah. They won't be preaching on Simon Peter and the rooster crowing. They're going to be preaching on how to get out of here. Hallelujah. Boy, it thrills you, doesn't it? I got so much I want to preach, I won't get through. You're a dandy, Mark. And I'll bring the third part to the fire, and will refine them as the silver is refined, and try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I'll hear them, and I'll say, it's my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God, and God's going to save them. Hallelujah, remnant shall turn unto the Lord. Now is Zechariah chapter 14. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh. Thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. I'll gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Hallelujah. Glory, I'm going to hurry. Let's go down to chapter 12 and find out how he's going to win. I can tell you now who's going to win Armageddon. You don't need to write Del Rio, Texas, or Atlanta, Georgia, or anywhere else to a religious station. I can tell you who's going to win Armageddon. It's not Russia. It's not U.S. It is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Antichrist took on more than he bargained for when he declared war on the Lamb. Whoop, he got too much military hardware behind us. We'll get your shouting clothes on. And this shall be the plague, verse number 12 of chapter 14. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away and their while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold everyone on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance, everything that nations have brought there, and everything that the Antichrist has gathered from dominion of nations in the world when he puts his headquarter is going to left there, so they'll have a fresh start and a new bank. Makes you want to shout. My time is up. I've got to go where we went. Let's go to Revelation 19. We'll try to conclude. You can't hardly find a caboose for this train. How's it going to happen? We're going to be the blood-washed saints are going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I wish I could talk about that for an hour. Can you imagine sitting down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 apostles and the patriarchs? Whew, hallelujah. And have homemade ice cream. Hallelujah. Say, man, what a day. Now, folks, it's going to be a literal supper, and we're going to eat. Did you know in glorified bodies you can eat? Jesus ate after he rose from the dead. Abraham came down, had a foot washing service, and after foot washing, hallelujah. Ooh, some of you still knew about that. Abraham and his angels had a foot washing service, and after that's over, they ate with Abraham. It's going to be something when we have a glory. I don't understand all. I really don't know what we're going to be like, but we're going to be like him. Say amen. I'd like to talk about the marriage supper, but I can't do that and get you in. Verse number 11 of chapter 19, and this is the victory, and I'm going to close. And I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written no man knew but himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and the armies which are in heaven followed him. Glory to God, upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. Who is that army? I just found out, Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and to his wife was granted that she should be arrayed in clean, white, fine linen, for that clean, white, fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Don't let anybody talk you out of your righteousness, folks. Say amen. Woo! It's going to clothe you through eternity. The righteousness of the saints. And I saw armies which are in heaven. Can you imagine us? Woo! Blood war, sanctified, overcoming triumph, redeemed in glorified bodies, sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And about that time, while he's serving us, and we're sitting in that banquet hall, and we sing a brand new song, you know what it's going to be? Glory to God and the Lamb forever, who hath redeemed us out of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and hath washed us in his own blood, that he might present to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. Woo, I promised myself I was going to hold down for saving my voice, but I'm feeling better now. And he's going to stand up at the head of the table, and he's going to announce to a blood-washed, triumphant church that I'm going to not only ask you to be my bride, but I'm going to let you become the armies which are in heaven, and you're going to follow me, and you won't need to fight, for he has a name on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He gets up from the table. We mount super steeds and come across the Milky Way on white horses. Horses at the side of him who loved us and washed us and saved us and gave us victory, and we're coming back in glory and in power and in might and in triumph, and Jesus Christ himself will appear over the valley of Jehoshaphat, and we'll start at Bosrath and bring an end to Gentile supremacy. We'll grind to powder, and the wheels will fall off of the planes, and the ships will sink in the sea, and confusion will be in the the land, and the Lord God shall defeat Gentile supremacy and grab up the man of sin, cast him into the lake of fire, and the saints of God are going to shout hallelujah when he touches his feet on old Mount of Olives. It's going to open its mouth to shout hallelujah and forget how to close it, and the mountain shall become a plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be in Jerusalem, and it'll be a new day, and the sun will be 7 times brighter than usual, and the moon will look like the sun, and he'll set up a kingdom that knows no end, and we will reign. Hallelujah. That's enough. Amen. Does that sound like pray for me? I'll hold out to the end. If we don't have company Sunday, I'll try to be in church. You better wake up, folks. We've got triumphant. We've got in the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding greatness of his power. I'm going to talk about eternal ages in a few days and eternal appointments when we'll be kings and priests and big shots and dignitaries and high moguls. Stand to your feet. We've had enough.